This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Before we get into this edition of AMI at the Movies, let's have a quick watch and listen to a trailer clip of the Netflix docuseries, Penguin Town.
There are a lot of movies about penguins. Then there's these birds.
A penguin slips off a rock and falls in the water.
Meet the endangered African penguin.
They waddle clumsily down a beach.
Every summer, they descend on Simonstown, South Africa. These birds are taking over this town.
They loiter in streets and homes.
With full VIP access. In this place, they are gods.
A penguin shakes water off.
They have 6 months to choose a partner.
They court.
Stake a claim.
Fall downstairs.
And make more penguins.
And nurse chicks.
Sounds easy enough, right?
Amy Amanti is our film reviewer and joins us this morning from Vancouver, BC. Also, the host of the AMI original podcast, Accessing Art with Amy. Hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Did that put a little smile on your face this morning?
100% put a smile on my face. I love penguins. I love nature docuseries. I love nature documentaries. Amy, that voice sounds so darn familiar. But who is the narrator of this series?
Oh, well, if you recognize the voice, rightly so, it's Patton Oswalt, who I think, you know, is known for comedy work, but also King of Queens. He was big on the King of Queens. That was the first time I ever experienced his comedy. And I just think he's like this joyful, bubbly kind of, you know, effervescent person. So it really comes through in this documentary.
Yeah, he also has a supporting role in an NBC show that's now available on Canadian Netflix called AP Bio that I may have binged an entire season of yesterday.
Ooh.
So yeah, definitely a very, very distinct voice. Definitely some comedic stylings there. A bit of whimsy in the style of that narration for the docuseries. Now, some critics have actually said the docuseries might be a bit of a slight mockery of an endangered species. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think the reason that was brought up was simply because there is a narrative to this piece, as you may have caught already by listening to the introduction. So as listeners, you know, there's really two kind of styles of these types of, you know, animal documentaries. So one is this very National Geographic, what we're used to, the very sort of scientific lens, right? Where you get a lot of facts and a lot of figures, and it's like you're spying on the wild. And then there's this type of series, which has a storytelling narrative. And so the storytelling narrative brings us into a place where, you know, we're anthropomorphizing these characters, right? We're looking at them as almost if they're human beings, and so we can relate to them differently. And I think the reason the criticism came about this mockery is because of this type of narrative, because it kind of maybe doesn't put the same sort of air quotes serious lens on the fact that this is an endangered species. However, I think there's room for both types of documentaries in the genre, right? So, but I think that's where that sort of stemmed from.
I'm going to come back to the word I used before, whimsy. Do you think a bit of whimsy in the narrative storytelling can actually serve the audience?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things for me in watching these types of documentaries is that, you know, again, when I refer to National Geographic as there being a lens, sometimes, like a scientific lens, sometimes I'm so interested and I'm so fascinated, but I feel all this pressure to have to remember all the details, right? So I can I can tell somebody about this amazing thing that I learned, right? But when you're watching a series like this that's created with this storytelling narrative, we've got, you know, these penguins that are referred to by names like couples. They're referred to as husband and wives, and we're following, you know, the Culvert family, and you know, so you get this sort of relationship building with these animals. And I think what happened for me is I tended to learn things through osmosis, through this like really simplified process. So here's a fun fact for you, Dave. Do you know what they call, I'm going to use the word flock. It's not a flock of penguins, but a flock of penguins in the ocean is referred to as what? Do you know?
I have no clue.
It's a raft.
A raft of penguins.
Never knew, right? And so that, for whatever reason, is like sticking in my mind like glue. Whereas if I had been bombarded with 1,000 facts, I probably wouldn't have been able to retain that.
Amy, do you know what a group of pugs is called? The dog breed pugs when they get together in a group? It's called a grumble of pugs. Which absolutely makes sense if you've ever spent any time around a pug. Amy, the series does come with a parental guidance, which maybe confused me a little bit here. Does that have to do with penguin lovemaking? Is this a family-friendly film?
I think it, you know, again, I would say yes. It's very much a family-friendly film. There are going to be things, you know, anytime you watch these kind of series, there's always a predator-prey kind of element.
Oh, those seals and orca whales.
So I will just say that, you know, not all of our penguin friends survive this series. And so there are a few kind of dark moments, again, told through this narrative, right? And you, like, your heart breaks, right? Because Papa Penguin's waiting for Mama Penguin to come on home and she doesn't.
Oh, dear.
And you don't know what happens, right? And so, you know, so there is some of that. And yes, there is some of the making babies talk that happens. So I think, you know, I think creators just thought that they needed to provide that lens for parents just in case they hadn't had the talk of either death or life.
For our clip there, we had our boss, Andy Frank, do some of the description for the trailer. But how was the description in the film itself?
Yeah, you know, what's really nice about a piece that has a storytelling narrative is that there's this combination of integrated description that's already created without us even recognizing, because somebody's telling a story.
Yeah.
You know, so we're being introduced to these penguins and we're introduced them as characters and we're talking about how they build nests. And so I don't actually need the description, and it's not in the description, to tell me how that's done because the narration is doing that. And so where the description comes in is in spots where it just, like, rightly so, fills in the small amount of visuals that I would be missing out, like the penguin sliding down the rock. Because that's a bit of a comical moment when you think about the fact that these penguins literally, like, throw themselves out of the ocean, land on these slippery rocks, and do this, like, you know, comedy circus type maneuver to try and climb up them, where there's a perfectly good beach right next to, like, right there. They're choosing things the hard way, I think.
Well, sometimes you got to earn those fish that you're going to find your way to if you're a penguin. Right. Amy, was there something about this docuseries that really resonated with you at a personal level?
Yeah, you know, I, like you, Dave, I love the idea of these animal series. I think it's one of the greatest ways for human beings to learn about not only the environment, but the relationships that we have between humans and animals. And one of the things that I thought really resonated for me with this one was actually that relationship. So again, when we look at National Geographic, we are the witness to the wild, right? When we look at something like this, these penguins are integrated into Simonstown. And so they rightly show, and there was a great scene in the trailer there that shows a couple of the penguins that are looking for a place to nest amongst the other 1,000 penguin couples that show up on this in this town every year, walking through somebody's home, looking for a place to nest. Now, it was really remarkable to see this particular piece, but also remarkable because in the storytelling narrative, it is made obvious to us that the homeowners, even though we don't actually see them, have left the front door and the back door open on purpose.
Oh, wow.
To allow for the penguins to sort of come and go and do their nesting. Because they know they're going to be there for this period of 6 months. And once you know you got a penguin nesting in your backyard with a family, you kind of have to leave your doors open because they can't eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I thought that relationship between humans and animals, it was something that really resonated with me because this town has been so respectful of these penguins and just letting them do what they need to do.
Oh, Amy, I love that so much. Okay, we've got to be a little quick here, Amy, because I've got a new story that I need to play before the hour wraps up. But how would you rate the series out of 10?
I gave it a 10.
A solid slam dunk. a solid slam dunk Amy rating there. Amy, always a pleasure chatting. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Happy Monday, Dave.
That's Amy Amanti, our film reviewer in Vancouver, BC. Today, she reviewed the docuseries Penguin Town, which you can find on Netflix. Just as we're wrapping up the hour, I've got one news story that I need to play for you.
Mary Simon will formally take over as...
Mary Simon will be installed today as Canada's 30th Governor General. Terry Pedwell looks ahead.
Will formally take over as Governor General at a ceremony being held in the Senate. Afterwards, she'll return to the Governor General's official residence, where, as Commander-in-Chief of Canada, she'll receive military honors from the Governor General's Foot Guards. While Simon will be installed as the first Indigenous person to take on the mostly ceremonial post, she begins her tenure with questions being raised about whether she was the right pick. The Office of the Commissioner of Official Languages has received hundreds of complaints from Canadians upset that Simon cannot speak French. Simon is Inuk and was educated in a federal day school in the Nunavik region of Quebec, but she says she was not given the opportunity to learn French as a child. Terry Pedro, the Canadian Press, Ottawa.
Those ceremonies are going to be getting underway in just a couple of moments. Very neat that our friends over at CBC are going to be doing a simulcast in multiple languages, including French, English, and several Indigenous languages as well. Coming up after the break, we'll get the regional news update and a sports chat with Jeff Ryman. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.